Tonight, several breaking headlines as we come on the air. A federal magistrate judge unsealing the search warrant for former President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. What they allegedly found. The warrant revealing Trump is under investigation for potential violations of the Espionage Act and possible obstruction of justice. The property receipt showing what federal agents took from Mar-a-Lago, including 11 sets of classified information, some marked top secret. One set of documents referred to as top secret sensitive information, meaning only a select few are allowed access in secure locations. So what does this all mean now, and where does this go from here? Jonathan Karl and Dan Abrams standing by. Also tonight, author Salman Rushdie attacked on stage in Western New York, a man stabbing him repeatedly before being tackled by police. Rushdie, the target of death threats for decades, then airlifted to the hospital. News coming in on his condition tonight and what played out in front of those in horror in the audience. Also breaking at this hour, a major victory for President Biden just moments ago. House Democrats tonight passing the $740 billion bill, the biggest investment in fighting climate in U.S. history, lowering health care and prescription drug costs, taxing corporations, and lowering the deficit. Mary Bruce, live at the White House. Late word coming in tonight on that deadly movie set shooting involving actor Alec Baldwin. The new FBI report out tonight and what it reveals about the gun Alec Baldwin was holding. News tonight on the man who showed up at that FBI office in Cincinnati with an AR-15 style weapon in body armor, the chase. And now we learn what he had posted and that authorities believe he was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. In New York City tonight, the new health warning, traces of polio now found in New York City wastewater, raising concerns about the contagious disease spreading among the unvaccinated. Tonight, actress Anne Heche's family says she is brain dead on life support and what they're now saying. The frightening moment for tourists as a plane makes a landing too close for comfort. And two brothers and their sister on the baseball field, and what came next? Definitely the play of the week.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. And we begin tonight with the breaking news. Tonight, a federal magistrate judge has now unsealed the search warrant used in the FBI raid of President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. The warrant revealing the former president is under investigation for potential violations of the Espionage Act and possible obstruction of justice charges. We learned that among other things taken from the home, 11 sets of classified documents, some at the highest levels of classification, meaning only a few people should ever have access to them and in very secure locations. Tonight here, we have learned much more about what federal agents were looking for when they raided the property on Monday. The Justice Department and FBI believe Donald Trump was keeping classified documents with national security implications at his home. And today, the Washington Post reporting some of those classified documents related to nuclear weapons. The property receipt released with the warrant, a list of what was taken on that list, those 11 sets of classified information, the executive grant of clemency to Roger Stone, a handwritten note, information about the president of France, binders of photos, 27 boxes in all. Just 24 hours ago, Attorney General Merrick Garland, under intense scrutiny, coming before the cameras, strongly indicating that they had tried other routes to retrieve these documents before executing the search warrant. Of course, we know there was a subpoena in the spring. And we now know investigators found documents classified all the way to top secret. Again, only a few would ever get access to them in those secure locations. Our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Karl, leading us off.
Tonight, an eye-opening window into why the FBI took the extraordinary step of executing a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. A federal judge unsealing the warrant, making it public, along with an accounting of what federal agents seized from former President Trump's property. The documents revealed just how much federal agents found. 27 boxes of government records, including 11 sets of classified documents. The property receipt, a copy of which Trump's attorney received from federal agents at Mar-a-Lago on Monday night, shows that the 11 sets of classified material included four sets marked top secret and one at an even higher classification, top secret SCI, a classification reserved for some of the most sensitive intelligence possessed by the U.S. government, meant to be viewed only in a highly secure location.
TSSCI information or intelligence is highly sensitive, and it is marked or classified as top secret SCI in acknowledgement that the disclosure of that information would incur grave harm to the national security of the United States.
The document does not say what the classified information is. The Washington Post has reported that among the material sought by federal agents was related to U.S. nuclear weapons programs. The warrant reveals agents were looking for evidence of three potential crimes: violations of the Espionage Act, unlawful removal of public records, and obstruction of justice by concealing, altering, or destroying records to impede an investigation. Agents also recovered unclassified records. One item marked the President of France. Another, executive grant of clemency for Trump ally Roger Stone. That, along with binders of photos and a handwritten note. The warrant, signed by a Florida magistrate, allowed FBI agents to search Trump's office, all storage rooms and areas used or available to be used by Trump and his staff, giving agents wide authority to search much of the property. The execution of the search warrant on Monday came after DOJ made a months-long effort to get Trump to turn the materials over, including a subpoena earlier this year and a visit by a small group of federal agents to Mar-a-Lago in June when Trump was at the property. As the attorney general said, they tried other routes before executing the search warrant.
Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken.
The warrant did not grant access to private guest rooms of Mar-a-Lago or areas otherwise used by people other than Trump and his staff. The former president said he was encouraging the immediate release of those documents, even though his lawyers had had them since Monday and could have released them at any time. Before the warrant was made public, House Republicans on the Intelligence Committee today called for the release of more information, demanding evidence of an imminent security threat to justify the search. They want the Justice Department to make public the affidavit presented to the judge outlining the justification for the search warrant.
The FBI raid of President Trump is a complete abuse and overreach of its authority.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi criticized Republicans for attacking the FBI and suggesting the search was politically motivated.
You would think there would be an adult in the Republican room that would say, just calm down, see what the facts are, and let's go for that, instead of, instigating assaults on law enforcement.
So let's get right back to John Carl, back with us again tonight. John, you've been reporting all week here that the former president and his lawyers had that search warrant and the property receipt right after the search. They had it all week. They obviously could have released this themselves amid all these questions and pressure from Republican leaders on the Justice Department to reveal more. So tonight, here we are a few days later, the attorney general, the judge now revealing it. Any word from inside the former president's inner circle tonight, his state of mind, how he explains any of this?
They've been incredibly quiet. As news of the warrant broke, Trump put out a statement claiming that he had declassified all this information. There is no evidence of that. And by the way, the three criminal statutes cited would still be relevant, even if this material had been declassified. But there's absolutely no evidence that he did that. As for Republicans, you heard them talking before the warrant was released. They have been remarkably quiet since it's been released. No Republicans taking back any of that criticism or reacting. I've reached out directly, especially to the House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy. No response at all.
And a quick follow, John, an obvious question, probably a difficult one to answer. Do we have any idea tonight why the president brought these documents to Mar-a-Lago, if in fact this is what we're looking at, and who actually brought them, what the intent was here?
No idea why he did it. Your second question is a really good one, though. It's quite possible that there is more than Donald Trump himself that could face criminal liability here. The question of who helped him bring this material to Mar-a-Lago will certainly be central in the days ahead.
All right, Jonathan Carl leading us off as he has all week long. John, thank you. Let's get right to our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, also with us tonight. Dan, we were expecting this release of the warrant today. We expected it to be somewhat generic, but it was rather striking when we were on the air reading through it together how much it actually revealed.
Yeah, there was much more detail than we were expecting, specifically with regard to how classified so much of this information was. 11 sets of highly classified documents. And so we're not just talking here about a Presidential Records Act violation, as some had suggested. We're talking about far more serious crimes. Espionage Act is one of them, but also obstruction of justice. Was there evidence that was concealed or mutilated? These are serious felonies.
And Dan, where do we go from here for people watching at home? When could we actually learn details of what exactly they found at Mar-a-Lago?
Well, look, I don't think that that affidavit is going to come out unless and until the former president is indicted. And there's no sign that that is in any way imminent. There are motions being made, efforts being made to release that information. But I think it's very unlikely that that would come out unless there was more of a legal proceeding, a criminal case that actually went forward.
Dan Abrams with us again tonight as well. Dan, thank you. In the meantime, on this Friday night, we move on to the other news. And author Salman Rushdie attacked on stage in Western New York today, a man stabbing him repeatedly before being tackled by police. Rushdie, the target of death threats for decades, then airlifted to the hospital. News coming in tonight on his condition and what played out in front of those in horror who were sitting there in the audience. Here's ABC's Mola Lenghi tonight.
Tonight, Salman Rushdie is in the hospital and a man is in custody. The famed author airlifted after a brazen attack.
With the amphitheater, presenter was just attacked on the stage on EDMF.
Authorities say the man, seen here, attacked the author as he was about to give a lecture at the Chautauqua Institution.
The suspect has been identified as Haiti Matar, age 24, from Fairview, New Jersey.
The Chautauqua Institution, a nonprofit education center about an hour outside of Buffalo.
It's a place of study and reflection and religious inquisitiveness, and it's now a crime scene.
Joshua Goodman with the Associated Press witnessed the attack.
He had just walked onto the stage and a man rushed from this audience up onto the stage and started punching or stabbing. It wasn't quite clear.
Another witness, Valerie Haskell.
He actually went at him at least 10 to 15 times.
Photos of the aftermath showing blood spatter on a wall and a chair and rescuers lifting Rushdie's legs in the air. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul praising the quick police response.
He is alive. He has been transported, airlifted to safety. But here's an individual who has spent decades speaking truth to power.
Rushdie has spent decades looking over his shoulder. His 1988 book, The Satanic Verses, is considered by many Muslims to be insulting to Islam. After it was published, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, issuing a fatwa calling for Rushdie to be killed. One religious group reportedly promising a bounty of more than $3 million.
Salman Rushdie.
Tonight in Iran, they're reporting on the attack. After years in hiding, Rushdie had been living comfortably in New York City before the attack.
Now, Rushdie was stabbed in the neck and in the abdomen. He is in surgery tonight, though no word yet on his condition. Right now, law enforcement officials are searching a location in New Jersey linked to the suspect. The FBI is involved in that search. No word yet on a possible motive tonight. Now, given Rushdie's history, extra security was requested for the event here, and two police officers were present, David.
The investigation stretching from New Jersey to right there in Western New York tonight. And Mola, we thank you. Also breaking just before we came on the air tonight, a major victory for President Biden. House Democrats tonight passing the $740 billion bill, the biggest investment in fighting climate in U.S. history, lowering health care and prescription drug costs, taxing corporations and lowering the deficit. It now heads to the president's desk. The president and first lady on vacation in South Carolina, President Biden saying today the American people won. This image of the president and first lady released just a short time ago, clearly pleased with a very hard-fought victory. Mary Bruce at the White House tonight.
The yeas are 220.
Tonight, Democrats in Congress sending President Biden a critical win.
The motion is adopted.
Capping a string of legislative victories for the White House. The House passing an historic $740 billion package. It is the largest investment in fighting climate change in U.S. history, including tax credits for purchasing electric vehicles and tax breaks for Americans who install solar panels on their homes.
It is going to put us on a trajectory to lower CO2 emissions in the United States by 40% in 2030.
Saying we'll meet that goal within 8 years. But this is also a health care bill that lowers premiums for Americans buying their own insurance, allows Medicare for the first time to negotiate the price of certain drugs, and limits out-of-pocket prescription drug costs for seniors on Medicare to $2,000 a year. To pay for it all, the bill raises taxes on the largest corporations and wealthiest Americans. It will also bring down the deficit. The president tonight tweeting, "Today the American people won and special interests lost," saying families will see lower prescription drug prices, lower health care costs, and lower energy costs. Now, the president is on vacation, but says he will sign this into law next week and then hold a big celebration here at the White House early next month. The president eager to tout this accomplishment. David.
Mary Bruce again tonight as well. Thank you, Mary. There's late word coming in tonight, a new FBI report just out on that deadly movie set shooting involving actor Alec Baldwin. The report and what it reveals about the gun Alec Baldwin was holding. Here's ABC's Will Carr tonight.
Tonight, an FBI analysis revealing new details about the investigation into the deadly shooting on the set of the movie Rust. After testing the firearm, the FBI concluding the gun, quote, could not be made to fire without a pull of the trigger. Back in December, Alec Baldwin describing the moment he shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins, saying he followed her instructions.
She's guiding me through how she wants me to hold the gun for this angle, and I draw the gun out and I find a mark. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, "Do you see that?" She goes, "Well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that." And then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
Baldwin adamant he never pulled the trigger.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
But tonight, the FBI contradicting that account. Authorities contending testing showing the trigger had to have been pulled.
David, tonight a big question is why there weren't blanks inside that gun. Authorities in New Mexico now say it does not appear the gun was intentionally loaded with live rounds. And it comes as they're trying to get Alec Baldwin's phone records. And they say once that happens, they'll refer the case to the district attorney for possible charges. Tonight, no word from Alec Baldwin's camp on the new report. David.
All right, Will Carr reporting. Thanks, Will. Tonight, new details are now emerging about the alleged gunman who tried to break into that FBI office in Cincinnati yesterday. Authorities now identifying the suspect as Ricky Schiffer, labeling him as a suspected domestic violent extremist. They say he was armed with an AR-15-style weapon and wearing body armor when he tried to breach the FBI building. Sources tell ABC News tonight that he'd been on the FBI's radar, and they believe he was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. To the war in Ukraine, and tonight a UN nuclear watchdog warning the crisis surrounding Europe's largest nuclear power plant in Ukraine has reached a, quote, grave hour. New shelling reported near the Russian-controlled facility. Ukrainian staff allegedly still working there at gunpoint. There are now calls to set up a demilitarized zone around that plant. When we come back on a busy Friday night, there's news this evening here in New York City. Polio found in the city's wastewater and what officials are now urging some residents to do, what this means.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight here in New York City, health officials are urging unvaccinated residents to get vaccinated against polio after the virus was detected in the city's wastewater. We have seen in recent months how wastewater has revealed a lot about COVID. Now we're learning polio is here. No cases have been reported officially in the city yet. Last month, a case was identified in nearby Rockland County, the first polio infection in the U.S. in nearly a decade. Polio can cause permanent paralysis, even death in extreme cases. They urge vaccination tonight. Actress Anne Heche is brain dead 1 week after that fiery crash in Los Angeles, her family saying Heche wished to be an organ donor. Hache had been in a coma since shortly after her car slammed into that home, causing a fire. Hache's former partner, Ellen DeGeneres, saying, "This is a sad day. I'm sending Ann's children, family, and friends all of my love." One of Hache's sons tonight saying he is left with a deep, wordless sadness. To the index tonight and to an image that left some tourists catching their breath on a Greek island, an Airbus passing just feet above their heads as it came in for a landing. Here it comes near the airport's perimeter fence. Several people were actually knocked over by the gust created by the plane. No one was hurt. The runway there at Skiathos is known for its low approaches, but some veteran watchers say this might have been the closest call so far. I'd rather just go to the beach. Finally, it just so happens another Little League moment reminding us what's most important. Tonight, Julian, Sky, and Jason at the ballpark in Orlando. They are a military family. Their dad, Air Force Technical Sergeant Janier Diaz-Bueno, deployed for 7 months. And just listen to this coach.
These kids in front of us represent over 1 million children of active duty members worldwide. Their strength, courage, and resolve serve our country as just as much as their parents who are fighting for our freedom.
Coach Brian Levin giving them a very special baseball with a message. 11-year-old Sky reading it.
What does that say?
Miss you guys.
And then what the ball also says. It turned out their dad, back from the Middle East, right there on the field. Right here tonight.
Hi, David.
That dad and the moment on the field.
Surprising them was honestly, you know, one of the greatest moments in my life, you know, to be able to physically see them and hold them from the moment I left. I was counting down to the days where I was gonna be able to see them.
A father grateful, three children so happy to be back in their father's arms. Welcome home, Sergeant. Good night.